Hi, my name is Alex Donaldson and I will be conducting this interview today on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 14th of September 2009, if you could please say your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
I'm Philip Stuart Ellenson, I'm 43, from Otley in West Yorkshire.
And how are you doing this morning, I'd say?
I'm okay, I'm mellow, I've calmed down a bit after the rundown. Having been a bit wired on the motorway, as one often is, and I'm okay.
So can I just ask you how you initially heard about the project?
Being a member of well-meaning Guardian Readers Against the Bomb, you can't move for it in the Guardian. And also, one knows what things pop up on the fourth. I know what pops up on the fourth plinth, and I knew this was coming up. I knew it was planned to come up, and I saw that it had started, so there you go.
And what was it that actually inspired you to get involved?
You could do these things, haven't you? It's a 1 in 15 chance of being selected, so why not? Give it a go, see what happens, throw out the air, see if it flies. And of course, I did.
Can I ask you what you're planning on doing today?
I might read some stuff. I might look at the view. I might see if it gets a bit lighter. And I don't know. I'll probably just wander around and talk to myself, basically. I don't know. I'm just here to be here more than anything. I'm not really. I've got some stuff to read and think about out loud, but I'm more just here to be here.
Have you been following the project so far?
On and off. On and off. I mean, I've seen some people. I sort of tend to dip into it every couple of days and see what's been going on, but I don't sort of, one can't follow it avidly because one's eyes would wear out.
Would you say you're interested in the arts?
Yeah.
And are you actually a creative individual yourself?
No, not terribly. No.
So, could you talk a little bit about what you do for a living?
I do all sorts of things. I'm originally an archaeologist. I then became a history teacher, and then became a sociology and psychology teacher. I also repair motorcycles and do some other stuff. But that's the main things.
So at the moment you're teaching?
Yeah, I've been teaching for years. Years, yeah.
What was it about teaching that kind of got you involved?
It's an indoor job with no heavy lifting, as Terry Pratchett says of wizarding. It's what people do when they don't do something else. And I used to be an archaeologist, and there wasn't much archaeology left to do, so I became a teacher.
When you say archaeology, did you specialise in a particular?
Yeah, I was an environmental archaeologist. I was an environmental archaeologist for the Museum of London, working on archaeological sites across London.
Okay.
But that all fell apart nearly 20 years ago now.
Okay. So where exactly do you teach?
I teach in a school in Bradford in West Yorkshire called Grange Technology College. But they've asked not to be mentioned. I know. As long as he's on broadcast, we're okay.
So, what is it about teaching that you love so much?
People. Kids. I mean, it's teaching is, teaching kids is great. It's good fun and stuff as well, I deal with sociology, which is really interesting. It's like, interesting stuff about people and weird things. So it's good. I mean, this is good sociology. It's like, why do people do this kind of stuff?
Why do you think you decided to do it?
Oh, because I'm a dodgy geezer and I'll do anything. I'll just do anything. It's like, oh, that looks interesting. I'll have a go at that. I'm sure for some people it's deep and meaningful and artistic, but I'm just a dodgy geezer. I'll have a go at anything because it looks like fun.
And have you done anything of this kind of nature before?
Participation in major works of public art? Not really. Although No, I haven't actually got. No, I keep thinking about it, but I never can quite get around to it.
Have you ever performed before?
Oh God, yeah. I'm a Morris dancer, but we don't talk about that in public because there are two things one should avoid: folk dancing and incest. I believe someone once said. It's true. It's true. Very, very well known quotes like Mark Twain or something like that. It wasn't. It was somebody British, but something like that.
So, how long have you been Morris dancing for?
25 years on and off. Solidly for the last 10.
And what was it initially that drew you in?
Morris dancing. Oh God, my chemistry teacher was a Morris dancer and he was a nice bloke and I like folk music and he said come along, so I did. And then just kind of kept doing it. And it's an excuse to stand outside pumps and drink and be silly. Does one need an excuse? But it is an excuse. And it also, in some forms of Morris dancing, one dresses up in silly costumes. It's a bit like, it's a performance. It's, you know, like anything else. If we wear silly clothes and, you know, particularly if you're in makeup and costumes make you look different, you behave differently. And you can be odd and silly and strange. And I do.
So you said that you have a motorbike. And you're quite interested in bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Has this always been the case?
Oh God, yes. Yeah, for God, 25 years again.
When did it start?
Oh, 60. I was older as soon as to have one, really. I had 30 odd at one point, but I'm now down to a manageable 12 or something.
And what kind of style do you go for?
Oh, just anything that's cheap. No, I do have quite a lot of Italian motorcycles and Moto Guzzis and Benellis, but mostly I just sort of buy stuff that interests me and run it around a bit and yeah, see what's fun. I've done sort of bits of competition in the past and sort of trialed and hill climbed and all sorts of stuff and yeah, I'm like everything else, I dabble.
So can you talk a little bit about where you kind of grew up?
I'm from Bedford, which is about 50 miles north of here, and well, that's it really. I grew up in Bedford and was there for the best part of 18 years and went off to university in Wales, and then trogged around the place doing archaeology for 5 or 6 years when I graduated, and finished up in West Yorkshire and have been there ever since.
And why did you settle in West Yorkshire?
How did it work? Right, let's think. Very complex. I was working in York for the York Archaeological Trust, and I was going out with a woman who was a croupier, and she was an ex-croupier. Then she moved up to York and we lived together for a bit and she got a job in a casino in Leeds, at which point I got a job in London. So we decided to get a house in Bradford and then I kind of commuted up at the weekends with all the filthy lucre that I earned in London doing archaeology. It was £12,000 a year, I think. And then, when the jobs in London fell apart, I ended up in Bradford because that's where we had the house, and that's that really.
So, could you talk a little bit about your other interests, like music, sport?
Oh, sport. I'm sort of vaguely interested in motorsport. I mean, there's a motorcycle motorsport, but only in that I sort of participate a bit. At least I used to. Music. Well, I like a bit of music, you know, like folk music, which is sort of quite nice, and you know, like music like people do. I went to see Coldplay yesterday, which was quite fun, and off to see Elbow next Friday, and Motley Hoople in a few weeks, and various others. Yeah, so yeah, one goes to gigs and gets involved. But I mean, I'm about as artistic as a plank of wood, so I don't actually do it. You know, I don't actually perform. Not been very good at learning musical instruments, so. But I like to go to gigs.
So, just to go back to your hour, what are your hopes, fears, expectations?
Not a lot, really. I mean, I don't know. I hope I enjoy it. How people aren't driven to kill themselves through boredom. I don't know. I really don't know. I got the place, thought, oh, that's good, and thought a bit about it. And then I filed it in the back of my head and went back to work. And at the moment, I'm worrying mainly about exam results and stuff like that. And so I kind of hadn't really had a chance to think about it. I just concocted some stuff to do, and I thought, I'll see how it goes. I don't know. It's just, I don't really have any fears. Falling off would be unpleasant, but I don't think that's going to happen. No one's done it yet.
And is there anybody who you think is going to be watching today?
My partner and my elder daughter have said that they're going to watch, and I've said they're both mad and they should be in bed and they can watch it on video or on the web later. I imagine there's a bloke called in New Zealand called Clive with a dog who can't sleep or something that's watching. And possibly some people in the States who are just lost or something, I don't know. But people have said they're going to watch, but I really don't think they should, because it just seems like a ridiculously early time to be up at. You know, the cunning thing to do would actually be to watch it later and then say, oh yeah, I watched it live, yeah. I'll never know. Yeah. So I don't imagine anyone would be watching.
And do you want it to be quite an isolated experience, or are you wanting to engage with anyone?
I don't know if there's anyone out there who engage with them. Again, I haven't really thought about it. I'm not sort of, you know, I'm not particularly, you know, it's not a great artistic statement. I'm just going up on a bit of stone to stand around for an hour and maybe some read some stuff. And it's like, think about, you know, what London's like. And I don't know, I kind of, the only thing I did sort of think of, which was sort of meaningful in any way, was I dug out Samuel Pepys's diary, and September the 14th, 1689, happened to be a Monday as well. So we'll find out what you were doing 320 years ago. Yeah.
So you're reading.
I'll probably read, yeah, I'll read a bit of Pepys's diary. Find out what he did yesterday and today, maybe.
Mm.
Oh, it's going to be fab. It'll be great. Yeah, he did loads of good stuff. I mean,
well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No.